Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey, Mike, pop quiz. What is the standard go-to method for emergency decon?
That's pretty easy. Wet decon, right?
Well, you know, you're not the only one that may be thinking that, but it's actually dry decon.
No. How many times have I heard dilution is the solution to pollution?
Actually, too many. And that's the issue. Makes sense if you think about it. Without the use of water, we don't need to spend extra time setting up traditional showers or pools, and there's no wastewater afterwards. And you're not going to freeze anybody to death if it's below 60 degrees.
Check out firstlinetech.com/drydecon. Firstline Technology has a whole webpage dedicated to the methodology and links to plenty of dry decon resources. See for yourself why dry decon with FiberTech should be your go-to immediate decon solution.
You know, it's time to rethink your level A protection. Multi-threat suits made of lightweight Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric are part of the most functional non-encapsulated level A ensembles that bring an essential modernization to hazmat PPE. Certified NFPA 1994 Class 1 suits with Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric offer unencumbered movement, increased range of motion, improved peripheral visibility, excellent dexterity, and reduced heat stress so you can stay engaged longer. You can learn more at GoreTexProfessional.com. Let's get to the show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode. This is episode one of the Hazmat Guy and the Has-Been Guy.
I knew that was coming. Damn you.
That was his own joke that I turned against him.
That was good.
I would like to extend a warm congratulations to my partner and co-host for officially having his last tours with the FDNY.
Yeah, actually, today the recording is as of June 22nd. We were recording at about 12:30 in the afternoon, and I retired officially at 9 o'clock this morning.
Ah,
that was it.
Unbelievable. So this is the actual day.
3.5 hours out, and it is a totally nothing changed.
Nothing changed. Huge, huge loss. Huge loss for the company. Huge loss for the training division. You are going to be sorely missed, my friend. But in all actuality, this is episode 345 of the Hazmat Guys. We will be going strong. We will be continuing. There is nothing that is going to stand in our way of bringing you whatever kind of nonsense we throw at you every week.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. We're going to continue that endeavor in perpetuity.
Yeah, we had the possibility of having, if you listen to episode 344, we talked about the event that happened in out west with the lithium ion car. And within moments of the release of that episode, we got contacted by that fire department, and they want to come on and talk. Nothing bad, nothing horrific. They just understand that this is a conversation that we should be having because nobody else is having it, or at least we're not having a public conversation about it. So we weren't able to get together this week. Hopefully next week we'll be able to make this work. But this week, it is June 22nd, like Bob said, it is getting hot and muggy out in the New York area. And I know for those of you that don't necessarily have seasons, like those of you in Arizona or Florida, it's hot all the time.
Yes.
But right about now, we start getting really cranky doing drills because nobody wants to drill when it's 90 degrees out and 90% humidity. So we start to revert to summer drilling, which is kind of more along the lines of like tabletop drills. And, you know, what are some things that we can do to do tabletop drills? How can we still exercise our mind? How can we still drill? How can we still go over stuff without getting all nasty and sweaty when we don't have to? And this one that we're going to talk about today focuses primarily on the new guys.
Yeah. So I think
I think now that I'm retired, I can officially say it. We've been holding back on this for a long time. Now, Mike still cannot say it, but I think I'm comfortable saying I just retired from the New York City Fire Department. I don't know if anybody out there knew about that.
Where do I work?
I don't know. But you're at a large metropolitan area fire department in the Northeast corridor that, so I hated drilling in the summer. And
it's horrible.
It was horrible. I had horrible hair days all the time in the summertime, and it was just not a good time. So the tabletop drills I looked forward to, not because I'm lazy. I really do enjoy actual physical stuff, but it's that it's a different dynamic.
It is. It is.
Like it allows you to do things that you couldn't physically do out on the streets or whatever, because now it's like almost like imagination time to a point, because I love that. We've said this many times, like, what's happening in your mind is different in my mind. Like we do at conferences, we'll do the Mad Libs, and we have a warehouse that has drums leaking or whatever it is. And every single person in that room has a different movie playing in their head about that scenario. And people go, well, that's not what I think.
Right.
You're all right.
Yeah. And then we go, okay, you hold on and you tell me what your thought process is and what you were thinking.
Yes.
And how your different scenario and dynamic translates to a different operational, outcome.
Yeah. And that's why these tabletops or these in-house drills allow us to attack a specific idea based upon each person's individual interpretation of the scenario. So leaving a scenario kind of broad makes a better scenario, because there's going to be a lot more fluffiness around the edges. Whereas if you set this up in the street, it is what it is.
Right.
You
can't change the weather. You can't change the location. You can't change any of that, at least not in the student's mind, right? Like what they see is what they get, and that gets kind of set into stone. And I'm even more above and beyond excited about this drill that came up, because do you remember a while back we did the new guy in hazmat?
Yeah, I do. Right? I like that episode.
We interviewed a new guy in hazmat. We interviewed him when he first got there, blah, 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 blah. Well, that guy retired years ago. So he retired as the new guy. But I mentioned that because I want to time reference this. One of the guys that he came on with, who's been starting to kind of help us out with podcasts and stuff like that, he came on the same time. So he's probably looking at about 4 or 5 years now. And it's exciting when you start to see those new guys no longer become the new guys, and they bring to the company a different perspective because they're different people. And so one of the things that he was kind of not complaining about, but he saw as a functional misstep, was that we have such an influx of new people. I mean, it is we're being inundated with new people and training the new people. And he said, we get on scene and none of the new guys, like the fresh new guys, really know what to do on scene, and it's hindering the operation. So he sat down, and I thought this was a really, really great idea. I sat down, conference table, whiteboard behind them, and we have a picture of what the whiteboard looked like when they were done. And he just chose a scenario. And he said, for example, he said, okay, propane leak. We're leaking propane. Tell me off the top of your head, what equipment are we using? What meters are we most likely going to be using? What needs to be set up? Because the idea, especially the idea for us, is that we really try to train our guys to operate independent of an officer, which is great. But at the same time, that means that new guys coming in are expected to just kind of know what to do. And there's nobody thinking, oh, I need to tell these guys what to do. So for us to be able to sit down and now literally in nice, cool air conditioning, just kind of go through a scenario and go through the no matter what else is happening, the equipment that needs to be pulled out, how it needs to be set up, what needs to be done, and the support that would be needed for the backup and the entry team to make this go forward. And that includes meters, research, all those things that kind of break down for each different scenario. And in 1 hour and a half drill, they were able to go through 10 different scenarios that are relatively common and really just kind of hash out what is needed, what needs to be done, and how things go through. And the fact that this is tabletop allows for expansion of each one of these runs, right? So like yeah. Bob was saying, like, let's say we turn around and I'll pick one of these. We have a car leaking gas.
Yeah, so hold on a second. I'm gonna where you got that? I'm just flipping around. So yeah, there it is. Car leaking gas. Guys, for those of you that are wondering what the hell we're talking about, this is a visual one. We'll do our best to describe it. But if you want to see what we're talking about, and you can replicate this at yours, you just get your premium membership or log into the website and check all of this goodness out. Shameless plug right there, but it's not so shameless because it is actually a really good drill here.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. So you turn around and you're setting up your drill. You're sitting down. You would be what the controller, if you were to put it in kind of like, you know, drilling terms. You're the controller. You turn around and go, okay, you have a car leaking gas. Tell me the things that you would need. And the new guys go through the list and they start picking up the things, not picking up, but mentioning, these are the things I would need. These are the things I would need. Once the new guys have completed their list, then go to the next newest guy or the first oldest guy. I'm not quite sure how you would say that. And have them elaborate on that list and why, right? Because getting back to the idea that the tabletops are visually in your head, he might have a run that he's thinking of that ended up acting totally different. And now he thinks about that every time there's a car leaking gas as a possibility. So what are your possibilities? Like, what have you seen? Well, like for existence here, we have the pate pump, right? And we have the scissor jack. And these are different tools that can be used. Now, we have multiple different ways to make entry into a gas tank. They chose a scissor jack. So what else would be needed with a scissor jack? The pool, the biosolve, the this, the that, the drums. If they were to choose, if somebody would turn around and go, I wouldn't do the pate, I would do the Wilden pump. Okay, great. What needs to be set up for the Wilden pump? Why did you choose? Why is your go-to a Wilden pump and this person's go-to is a Draeger pump or a pate pump? And you can really learn a lot operationally by picking apart the guys in the room's brains all at the same time. If you didn't hear yet, we are transitioning to a new format that is going to give you, the listener, even more content.
Yeah, for example, in our technician and specialist levels, we are adding even more video content, access to our entire show catalog, and even access to a monthly small group Q&A session to answer any questions that come up, as well as so much more.
All of this for less than a cup of coffee that you premium snobs like to drink for the entire month of access.
This is the stuff that you've been asking for. So take a look at what we can do to take you to the next level of hazmat.
Go to our website, thehazmatguys.com. You can sign up for our premium tiers that will give you even more hazmat goodness.
I like this, but you said something a couple times, and I'm thinking of one specific name. I will not mention the name, but there was a member of a place I used to work at. Again, I just retired. I'm going to say it over and over and over, because I think it's so funny that 3.5 hours ago I got. Anyway, but this guy had, he would have one scenario that was like a once in a million thing. And that was like how he had a setup for every single one. I like this drill because what you see on the screen is the core stuff. And then if you started doing, okay, these are what ifs. Mm-hmm. Like there's always that one guy that changes the goalpost. He'll be like, okay, now the compressor broke. And you're like, oh, okay, well, then I would do these things. But I assume certain things are going to happen. Like everybody's, you know, for a car leaking gas, I can assume it's something, you know, first off, it's gas. Second off, it's coming from the bottom. Second, third off, you know, like, you know, gravity is still in play. Right. You know, it's not raining, you know, because, okay, now it's a deluge flood. Well, I would have to start thinking about damming and diking, or, oh, it's upside down. Okay, then I would have to think about these things. Or so I like this drill because if you stick with the core and then have this subset ancillary considerations, you can seriously turn this into, and we've done this in which honestly we could probably turn into a whole nother episode just on metering.
Yes,
there is an actual card that we have on the rig that says if we're going to this type of operation, these are the meters you're probably going to be pulling out, but consult with the entry team for any additionals that they might require.
Right.
Based on information that's coming over the radio or past experience or, you know, I have space or I don't have space or whatever the hell it is. But in the car leaking gas, it's all of the core things here. And I'll read – what is BG? What the hell are they talking about? Oh, BG. I don't know the hell BG is.
I don't know what BG is either.
Whatever. Maybe they need a game of backgammon. I don't know. you know, it could be
I don't know what BG would be.
I don't know. Pool, the scissor jack, which, you know, those of you who don't know, we had a special tool that would come up and pop. In fact, I did a whole nugget on that. If you go back into our nuggets in the premium section, you'll see that one. The Pate is just a manually operated diaphragm pump. Biosolve is an emulsification agent that we use to kind of like reduce vapor pressure.
Yeah,
reduction.
We reduce flammability, but it's also a little bit of a, it's a soap, but we use it almost like a psychological first aid as well.
Oh, totally.
Right. Because, and listen, we're giving away our tricks of the trade. I hope there's no chiefs listening that are going to like call us out the next time that we're doing this. But the fact is you break open a gas, you know, you break open a tank, you're never going to get all of the product out. So when you get as much as you can out, and then you take Biosolve with an extinguishing agent, any kind of emulsifier will do, and you spray it in the tank to get the last bit of the gasoline out, what's dripping out is now pink. And it's, you can make the incident commander, you haven't rendered it any safer.
No.
But you're saying, oh no, that's the product that we put in there to get all the gasoline out, that's what's leaking now.
Yeah.
So any kind of,
it was an indicator to me, like, yeah, okay, I have the gasoline.
Right.
Gasoline out.
Yeah, everything is out. I've done like a final wash, and what you see dripping is the Biosolve.
Right.
And that allows the incident commanders to feel a little, visually, they feel a little bit more comfortable, right? Because,
right,
you know, it's hard to turn around and be like, well, we can't get every drop out. Like, what do you want us to do? yes. So we make them feel a little bit visually more comfortable because it's dyed pink and you see that pink running out. And when they turn around, they go, oh, there's stuff leaking out. And you go, is it pink? And they go, yeah. We go, that's the Biosolve.
I love it. So, I write a note to myself. That was a good stuff. I like that. And then you got the meters. You got, you know, the standard gas meters, and you got the thermal imaging camera. Good stuff. Now, could you say something happened that was crazy? Can we add to this list? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a bad idea, right? Because as the controller, you turn around. Now, this is not goalpost moving. You let the guys know, listen, great. You did a great job. That's a good basic drill. Does anybody have any scenarios that are different than what we see on the board? Right. And then somebody goes, well, yeah, we had one where the angle of the car or the material didn't allow us to use a scissor jack. So we drilled. OK, great.
Oh, okay.
What do we need to drill? Right. How does that operationally different? So when you hear the entry team go, we need to switch over to the drill. What tools need to come out? What needs to set up? How does the scene need to look, right? We treat a drilling a gas tank a little bit differently than we do puncturing a gas tank, because now we want to have a foam line with a fog tip ready in case something sparks and ignites. Like, there's a whole different operation. And that may be a little bit above the level of the new guy, but you have to remember when you're sitting as a group, you have multiple tiers. And we have to get away from the idea that we're just drilling for the new guy. Each generation should be taking something away from sitting down and doing the drill and putting something in.
This is a take a penny, leave a penny kind of thing.
Right. Everybody brings something to the table. Everybody takes something away from the table.
And even you just said that, like, you know, you say, okay, that weird thing where we had to drill it. And if everybody's looking around at you going, huh, really? Yeah, I guess. Has anybody done this? And you see, no. Well, let's go down and drill.
Yeah. Now because, we know.
Like, that's a hole in our training right now. And you know what? Maybe you do this same exact thing that night or the next day. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, of course, drilling. Well, everybody here drilled. I'm just happened to be with the people didn't drill.
Yeah.
So let's get the drill out.
And you can't tell me that the universe doesn't freaking control that shit. How many times have we just drilled on something and then found out the next day the company had a run on it?
Yep.
Right?
It happens all the time.
Betz valve is the greatest example of that. Never heard of the Betz valve in our department ever being used. Guy goes away on a training specifically to get trained on the Betz valve. 2 days later, that guy uses the Betz valve at a run.
Yeah. And we looked like an ace.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. How many times did you guys take this off? I think that's the first time we broke the glass. It says right. Break glass in case right. of emergency.
Right.
We took the thing out.
One guy was assembling it and the other was popping the little packing peanuts that came in the box.
That is so true. That is so true.
So yeah, there are good, you know, a lot can stem from sitting down and just talking. And this is a great way of doing it. Look, here's a garbage truck burn. What kinds of things do we need to think about when we're burning a garbage truck? Get it all out there. Get it, put it down on paper, put it down on the whiteboard, let everybody soak it in, let everybody talk about it. And, you know, everybody participates. Everybody brings something to the table. Everybody takes something away.
I like this. This is, you know, and garbage trucks go on fire. Happens all the time, you know, like, and it could be anything from a little bit of intentional arson to a cigarette butt that was put in a garbage bin that was thrown in the back to hypergolics.
Yep.
We've seen that where chemicals.
Lithium-ion batteries.
Lithium-ion batteries.
Freaking all the time now.
But this is like any garbage truck that's running around your town. Like, I love how they did this because every garbage truck that's running around town is an all hazard.
Yes.
It is thermal, corrosive, radioactive, flammable, toxic, all at the same time. And I would dare you to go find a garbage truck anywhere you are that isn't all of those things right now.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? How could it be radioactive? People are throwing away radiation?
Yeah. Geriatric people get their stress tests or whatever they are. They poop in the diapers and the diapers go into garbage and the garbage goes in the back of the truck.
Yeah. You guys really would be amazed if that is striking you as like a really, that must just be a large metropolitan city thing. It's not.
It's not.
It's really not. It happens all the time. In fact, if you go down to your local dump, I guarantee you that as you drive through, there's huge like Ludlum style detectors as you drive past, because radiation in the garbage is a legit thing.
Yes.
And, you know, we often will turn around. We don't even think about that when we go to a garbage fire, but you now have really high potential of radioactive smoke in the air if you're going to a garbage truck fire.
Stuff. Absolutely.
It's one of those things. And if you're not, you know, that may not be something a new guy, a first tier, second tier, third tier guy is thinking until these things come out on paper and, you know, you're actually explaining why I would grab this, why I would grab this, who's doing this, why are we doing this? These are absolutely phenomenal drills. They will last you the entire summer because we could literally turn around. We could take each one of these and have a half hour episode just on each one of these specific episode, not episodes. Of
scenarios.
Runs. Yeah. Yeah. Scenarios.
Yeah.
So, that's all I got for you guys.
All right. Well, that was a good one. I like that. It's a shorty, but I liked it. I dig it.
I dig it.
Peace.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.